In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not often you hear a sermon about hell nowadays, but Mark 9 is one of the few times Jesus mentions the subject, so here goes. In previous generations, you would have heard quite a lot about hell. The torments of the damned featured regularly in sermons, and people's imaginations ran wild with talk of people being thrown into the flames or being attacked by horrible demons. The sort of thing you'd see in the sculptures over the main door of the Münster, or in the paintings of people like Hieronymus Bosch. These images were, of course, a means of control, intended to frighten people into virtue or obedience. And the idea has not entirely disappeared either, because there are still some extreme fundamentalist sects who teach that unbelievers and sinners will go to a place of everlasting physical torment. If this were so, God would be worse than all the worst tyrants of history, from Genghis Khan to Hitler to Islamic State. And he would be found guilty by the International Court of Human Rights. That obviously cannot be true. So let's have another look at hell. In Mark 9, Jesus uses some pretty strong language. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. We have to realize that the Bible often uses symbolic picture language. If you insist on the plain and literal meaning of every word, you end up with nonsense. What Jesus is insisting on here is not self-mutilation, chopping off hands and feet, but on the utter seriousness of sin and the lengths we have to go to fight against it. When he talks about the unquenchable fire, he is describing the power of temptation, how it never seems to leave us alone if we give it a chance. Some of you may know the play by the French writer and philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre called Huis Clos. Its English title is No Exit, or Vicious Circle. It's about three people locked up together in a room, and they argue and annoy each other, trapped in this vicious circle. That's what's going on in our first reading from the book of Numbers. First, the Israelites want to be freed from slavery in Egypt. But when they are freed, they complain there's no food for them in the desert. So God miraculously sends the manna. Then what? They're soon complaining again. When I read this, I can sort of imagine a Monty Python sketch or something like that. Manna again! Boring! Haven't we got anything else to eat? Take us back to Egypt for a good fish supper. And then, of course, they'd soon be complaining again about their workload. They're trapped in a vicious circle of their own making. That is a key feature. Hell is not a place of horrible punishment imposed by a sadistic God, but a state in which we get trapped by our own actions and thoughts. In Sartre's play, one of the characters says, "L'enfer, c'est les autres." Hell is other people. But actually, no. It is other people and ourselves. The letter of James turns this on its head and says, the way out of sin, the way out of hell, is other people. confess your sins to each other, to admit our fault, may feel like chopping off a hand or a foot, but it is the first step out of that vicious circle. Pray for one another that you may be healed. In the Greek, the word you here is plural. Both the prayer and the one prayed for are healed. Just as we pray, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Yes, we all have the capacity to create hell on earth. But more importantly, we are called through prayer, forgiveness and reconciliation to be a healing community, a sign of the kingdom of heaven. Amen.